Welcome back to the Raising Elite Competitors podcast. I'm Coach Bree, a mental performance coach for girl athletes, and I am excited you're here. Whether you are a sports mom or a sports dad, this podcast is for you to help you know how to raise a confident, mentally strong girl athlete. And part of being a confident, mentally strong girl athlete is ensuring that our athletes are getting the fuel that they need to perform to their potential. That's why I'm excited about today's episode, because I had the pleasure of interviewing registered sports dietitian Ashley Harps, all on this topic of how to fuel properly. We're talking timing, talking the makeup of the foods that are most optimal for athletes, and also how to get your athlete to focus a little bit more on nutrition without nagging, because this can be a tricky topic to navigate. Now, before we get into this episode with Ashley, I want to give a shout out to a mom in our community who posted something that literally gave me goosebumps when I read it. So this is from Kristen. She is a mom who's inside the Elite Mental Game with her athlete. And she said this. She said, last night was a huge breakthrough for my daughter. She's been out for a month with an injury, and last night was her first night back. She played so well, and when her coach offered her feedback, she had the best body language I have seen from her. As we walked out, I asked her how she felt, and she was beaming. I told her this was the most relaxed I'd ever seen her play, and she told me how relaxed she felt. Then she proceeded to talk nonstop the whole 45-minute car ride home. During her time off, she's been watching old games, practicing, and visualizing daily, which I actually didn't know about, but encouraged when she first got injured. Last night, it clicked for her that mistakes happen, they're normal, and they're part of the process. She did her snapback and moved on, and that's how she stayed so relaxed. She said, I'm a good volleyball player, and I'm going to make mistakes. Seeing her realize that these two things are true was huge. Kristen, that's amazing. I mean, there's so many things I could pull out of here, but I hope that this is hope for parents who are listening, that if your daughter's injured, if she's having a setback, if she just isn't playing like you know she could, or the confident version of herself, that with the right tools doesn't have to be this way. So visualizing, productively processing, she's not beating herself up, having a snapback routine so that she can get back into the present moment right away. I mean, this is where the magic happens. So congratulations, Kristen. Love to hear this win and keep going. Can't wait to hear about other wins that come up as you both continue to go through the program. All right, we are going to jump into this episode with Ashley, registered sports dietitian. And one thing that we talk a lot about inside our programs is, as a parent, there are a couple of things that you can control when it comes to your athlete's success and her ability to play to potential. And one of those is that you shape the environment. You shape the environment and you provide her with the opportunities. Those are two things that are in your control. Part of shaping the environment is what we're going to talk about in this episode. And that's around just how we create an environment where it's easy for our athletes to fuel in a way that supports them. Now, it's not going to be perfect all the time, but we're talking about that a little bit inside this episode as well. And then providing the opportunities. So we talk specifically about mental training and physical training, but the opportunities for them to fuel in a way that supports their training is also something that's in our control as parents. So we'll be giving some tips around that, because I know, like I mentioned, it could be a little tricky in this area of nutrition. But enjoy this episode, and I will see you in the next episode of the Raising Elite Competitors podcast. Hi, Ashley. Welcome to the Raising Elite Competitors podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Awesome. I'm really excited to dive into just some nutrition recommendations, advice. Like, this is something that parents are always asking me, and as a coach myself, I'm always wanting to provide education on for my own athletes, because nutrition is huge when it comes to performance and just general health. So we're going to get into a lot of different things today, but can you start by introducing who you are and what you do?
Sure. Again, my name is Ashley Harps. I'm a registered dietitian. I specialize in sports nutrition for athletes. I work with primarily female athletes, runners, soccer players, and surfers as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Why, I guess, I mean, we also specialize in girl athletes. What was it for you that made you want to dive into that niche?
Well, I've been an athlete, you know, all my whole life. I've played soccer since I was 5 years old, and I also swam into other sports, but I always noticed that my other athletes were always worried about nutrition, and some of them were skipping meals and they weren't healthy and weren't playing when their games. So I really wanted to focus on that, because it's, I mean, boys are affected too, but girls seem to be very heavily affected by the social media and what they hear, and also body image. So I really wanted to focus on the girls and help them.
Yeah. It is so tricky. I mean, as they're being surrounded by all of the social media, the social pressures, and then they're also expecting to perform, you know, it can just be in such conflict, like the messaging they're getting and right. What they're trying to do to manipulate their body, and then also right. Show up and expect to play well. Like, yeah, that's so tough. So yeah, let's just get right into it, because as you know, there seem to be things that kind of come into the spotlight when it comes to like nutrition and all of that. And it seems to be right now a like high protein, no carb emphasis. So when it comes to like fueling, especially the female athlete body, let's talk about carbs. Like, are they as bad as what we're seeing right now?
No, they are not. Okay. Carbohydrates are the primary source of energy for your body. So I can't emphasize this more, that athletes should not cut out carbohydrates, and protein is not the main source of energy for your body. So you're really doing yourself a disservice, because athletes are going to notice they're not going to have as much energy during their games and practices. And also they're also going to notice that it affects their mood, because carbohydrates, a low carbohydrate diet can make you irritable, as well as they're going to notice they're not going to be able to concentrate in class. And just in general, it's overall not a good idea. So again, it's the main source of energy for your body, especially for the endurance athletes. Carbohydrates are not bad. You need them.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a certain like timing of when carbs should be eaten, or like, I also hear this like no naked carb, you know, is there like naked carbs, meaning like don't eat it without protein?
Because okay. I was like, and that's a new one. I was like, what is that?
Okay. I heard that one the other day. So yeah. Any recommendations on carb timing, or if we're talking about female athletes, is it just eat your carbs?
Well, even for both athletes, male and female, eat carbs, but it's best if you can eat 3 to 4 hours before a practice or a game, so that way your body has time to break it down for energy. And it is a good idea to eat a combination of carbohydrates and protein, because so that way you stay full longer. And the main function of protein is to repair muscle tissue after exercise. So it's always a good idea to eat the carbs with the protein. You don't absolutely have to, but I do recommend that. But it's not going to affect your performance if you don't eat the protein, but it's always a good idea. Mm-hmm. But okay. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing that I also see from athletes too, is like good carbs versus bad carbs. And, you know, is that even a good term? Like, I know we'll talk a little bit about like, you know, eating disorders and what can lead to like vilifying foods. But is there such thing as like good carbs, bad carbs? Or are they all?
I don't like to label any food as good or bad, because again, all food fits. You know, I wouldn't recommend the carbohydrates are in candy, cakes, cookies, and candy. So I wouldn't recommend eating dessert right before training, because what tends to happen is they are higher in fat, and sometimes that can cause abdominal discomfort. But I would never say don't ever eat cake, cookies, and candies, because it's okay. You know, on occasion, I like to call that sometimes food versus calling it bad. And like good carbs would be like, you know, again, always food, like whole grain bread, fruit, dairy products, vegetables that are high in carbs, like potatoes. So just sometimes food and always food is a better way to go, because again, a lot of when athletes hear that, it affects their body image, and they also don't have a good relationship with food, and they want to enjoy eating. It shouldn't be something that they should dread.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to pepper you with a lot of questions, because I see it from different angles. You know, like as a coach myself, like I mentioned in the beginning, like I see the eating habits of like the girls on my team, and I am always like, I provide them with education, not as much as I wish I could, but I also am almost, I'll be honest, I'm sometimes afraid to even like talk about some of it, because I don't want them to like, I don't know, have some sort of like feelings about food or a negative way. And so with athletes who have this pressure of like, okay, being small or, you know, wanting to maintain a certain like physique, and then they're thinking like, well, the food is the reason why this is causing me to not hit those goals or something. Like, should athletes be like counting calories? Should they be mindful of how many calories they're eating? Is that even a thing that athletes should be doing? Because I see some athletes doing that, and yeah. I'm always like, they shouldn't, but I don't know.
I would say no. No calorie counting, again, because they're never going to get it right. And it's not a good idea, because again, it's a lot of unneeded pressure. And again, you won't enjoy eating. So general recommendation, I would say for athletes on easy practice days, a third carbohydrates, a third protein, a third vegetables. Hard train days, you know, hard games, a half carbohydrates, a quarter protein, and a quarter vegetables. That's just building their plate, not counting calories. No, I would say no.
Okay. Okay. So focusing more just on like making sure they're getting fuel.
Right.
Yeah. Like
exactly.
And how many, so on those hard training days, I mean, I like that like description of a plate, but like how many meals, how many snacks, like sometimes that helps too.
Right. Ultimately, that's going to depend on the intensity and duration of the training and also the sport, because in every sport is different. But I would say with most endurance athletes, if you, again, like have three meals, and then if you have a break between practices, have a snack. And then if you're not going to eat dinner right away after a game, you can have a post-recovery snack and then eat a dinner. Because you want to, with after a hard training day, when you're all done, within 2 hours, you want to eat a snack or a meal to boost muscle recovery. That's the window.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. How about, you know, sometimes this is kind of more on like the training side, but sometimes I get girls who are like, I don't want to eat too much, or I don't want to eat too much protein, especially because I don't want to like bulk up, and I don't want to like get my muscles too big. That's also one of the reasons why they say they don't want to lift heavy either. So, I mean, if you know about that area, you could touch on it, but is there any correlation to like, okay, you're eating too much and that's just going to make you bulky?
No, not at all. Honestly, no. I mean, that's a combination of weight training plus increasing more protein. So they would have to be lifting, not just maybe like one session of weightlifting. It would be like, you know, how bodybuilders are lifting for 8 hours. I'm not saying they'd have to lift that long, but it would have to be a very long weight training program, and they would have to eat a lot of protein. So no, that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Okay. That's good. So maybe there's some athletes listening that would... Hopefully they're hearing that loud and clear, but let's talk about the opposite. Like what happened? Okay. You mentioned this at the beginning a little bit as far as like their focus, but for those athletes who are like, well, I don't want to get big, or, you know, I don't want to eat this because it's just going to like make me look a certain way. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to pay attention to really like my fueling schedule. What could be the downsides of doing it that way?
Not paying attention to it again. Well, less energy. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a lot less energy if they underfuel. They're not going to feel good. Like, again, I mentioned they're not going to be able to concentrate very well. And it's just overall, they're not going to feel very good. And they're going to notice that they're more irritable. It's going to affect their mind and their body as well. It's going to affect everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so interesting because athletes experience some of these things and their first thought sometimes isn't like, oh, what did I eat? Or what did I not eat? It was, you know, they go to all of this like, oh, I'm terrible. Or, you know, this, like they just go down all this, and it could be the low hanging fruit of like, well, maybe you need to eat more or eat carbs.
Right.
Or hydrate.
Right. And it also could be lack of sleep too, because that really affects, you know, their performance and their mood as well.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Okay. So we've talked about a little bit of these mistakes already, but what common mistakes do you see athletes making when it comes to nutrition, fueling, whole thing? What are some common pitfalls?
A lot of things I see are skipping meals. They think, oh no, I can't eat that. So if I eat before practice, I won't feel good. It'll hurt my stomach. And again, like I've seen a lot of like the cutting out of the carbs, not hydrating properly is a big one too. Not knowing like how much or like when to hydrate is a huge issue as well.
Okay. Yeah. So how much and when should athletes be hydrating?
Okay. Well, that depends on their weight too, and also what they're doing. But a general recommendation would be if it's going to be an intense practice or a game, but if you can drink at least 2 cups of organic Gatorade or a homemade sports drink an hour before, that's ideal. Mm-hmm. If you have more time, for girls, it's about 3 liters of water before. And then again, if it's going to be an intense practice with the sports drink, like I mentioned, organic Gatorade. And during practice, if it's intense and it's more than an hour, about 4 to 6 ounces every 15 minutes as well. Like during a game, if it's an intense game during breaks and halftime, just whatever you can sip the sports drink.
Okay. You said 3 liters.
Yeah. That's yeah.
What that's is, I'm looking at the bottom of my water bottle right now. What is this? 24 ounces. How many liters is that? Not great on the conversions, but mm-hmm.
3 ounces.
3 liters is how many ounces? I don't know. Those of you
there's
that
30, are... there's 32 ounces in 1 liter.
All right.
Yeah. So that would be 65 ounces.
Okay. Okay. For two, you said 2 liters or 3 liters?
I said 3.
Oh, okay. This has turned into a math lesson.
Yeah, no, sorry. I think I had a brain freeze for a second. I think I did the math wrong. I did. Sorry, everyone.
Is that right? 96 ounces.
96. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, everyone. Delete that.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to, I'm like, okay, what is that? Like for me, I'm like, okay, I need to drink like 3 of these or something like that.
Right. But it would be sipping fluids. No, don't like, you know, gulping, like sip through fluids. Otherwise it will hurt your stomach. You just try to guzzle that right before practice because that would not be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good too. Okay. When you say organic Gatorade, can you?
Yeah. The reason why I mentioned that is because I know there are some additives that people don't like that are in Gatorade. That's why I mentioned that, because there's no high fructose corn syrup. It's more natural ingredients, and there is sugar, but it's cane sugar. So if people are worried about the artificial sugars, there's none of that. And I know some athletes and some parents are scared of sugar, but sugar in sports drinks is not bad. It will help your son or daughter absorb the electrolytes of sodium and potassium, which will help them stay hydrated. And also the sugar in the sports drink gives them energy. So it's not a bad thing.
Okay, cool. Do you have like a electrolyte or some sort of like recipe that you use?
Yes, yes, I do. I have two different ones. One is that you can make your own sports drink. It's 3/4 a cup of watermelon juice, 3/4 a cup of coconut water, and 1/4 a teaspoon of salt. Also, you can make it with the same recipe with pineapple juice. So again, it would be 3/4 a cup of coconut water, 3/4 a cup of pineapple juice, and 1/4 a teaspoon of salt. The reason why I'm mentioning the pineapple juice and the coconut water is because they're very high in potassium. And of course, the sugars in the juices have the carbohydrates.
Okay, cool. It's easy. I mean, I also have those like Element packets on hand. I don't know. Have you heard of those?
Yeah, I have. I mean, that's for if you're a heavy, salty sweater, because like there's a lot of sodium. I don't remember the exact ingredients in those powders. They might not have very many carbohydrates. So if you're looking for something to give you energy, they might not do that, but they would just help your body, you know, retain the fluid because of the sodium and potassium, but they probably wouldn't give you energy if there's no carbs.
Yeah, I don't think there are. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. More like electrolyte.
Yeah.
Like that. All right. That's good. Let's shift a little bit like to parent role. So a lot of times with the moms in our community and with the athletes, it's like the athletes may or may not know what they should be doing to make sure that they're fueling properly. And parents are sometimes at a loss when it comes to this. They're like, well, either my daughter is picky, she's a picky eater, and so, or she's not hungry in the morning. And so getting her to like eat something before like a morning game is a struggle. So let's talk about like some logistics when it comes to that. So is there anything that like parents can be doing to ensure that their kids are fueling properly? Snacks and meals they can be doing.
Right. Well, I mean, probably the best thing to do is try to find a way to connect with them, like ask them to help you make a smoothie. Say, oh, I've just tried this new smoothie recipe. I really like it. And because the liquid carbs are a lot easier to digest before a practice and game than solid foods. And that's okay. If that's the only thing they will eat, that's better. And just try to find a way to connect them. Oh, I tried the smoothie. I'd love to have you help you make it, something that they can do together. Or some athletes I know like acai bowls. So you could ask them to help you make an acai bowl. I know a lot of my athletes like those as well.
What are they? Acai bowl?
Acai, A-C-A-I, acai bowl. You know, the acai berries.
Okay. I've been saying that wrong my whole life then.
It's okay.
I thought it was acai.
It's okay.
Okay. Yeah. Those are good. All right. Now, what about, because this seems to happen a lot, like early morning fuel, you know, you've got a game like at 8 a.m. and daughter's like, I'm feeling sick. I don't want to eat. Don't force anything in my tummy. But she's got to fuel somehow. Like any recommendations there?
Right. Applesauce is a good thing. Like the go-go squeeze pouches of applesauce, they're very easily digestible. And a lot of my athletes like those. So that's a good option. Okay. Go-go squeeze also makes, you know, the go-go squeeze pouches of like smoothies. You can squeeze pouches of those. But if nothing else, applesauce has been very helpful for a lot of my athletes. And also, even with that, other easily digestible carbs, like the Welch's fruit snacks, the little pouches of those are good as well.
Yeah. Okay. And you've mentioned that before, like with the sugar and like, we don't necessarily need to be like afraid of that, because you mentioned, maybe it was offline, that you hear a lot of parents being like, okay, we're going to cut sugar out. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that and like how fruit pouches are actually okay before?
They're okay because, again, they're easily digestible and the sugar will provide energy. You know, it's not going to be the long lasting energy like for the more complex carbohydrates like bread, rice, cereal, pasta. Yeah. So that's why I highly recommend fueling with those. But if they won't, you know, that's another good option. So, but again, you know, the sugar provides the energy. You know, I know that there's some myths and misconceptions about it causing hyperactivity. It does not cause hyperactivity.
Okay, cool. All right. How about go-to snacks for post-game or pre-game, I guess?
Okay. Pretzels are a great option. You know, pretzels and like a little sports drink, that's a great option. A banana with a little bit of peanut butter is a great option. I know a lot of my athletes like to drink chocolate milk after the game and grab practice with peanut butter or, like I mentioned before, a smoothie, something easily digestible.
Okay. Cool. And then, and all of those are pretty like portable, but yeah,
right, I always yeah.
things like we've got long tournaments and we need just things that we can like get in their bodies.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And then generally speaking, you know, in our program, like in our world, when it comes to mental training, we talk about how there's really like two main parts to it. Like there's the athlete and her mental game and the skills that she is developing for herself because it's her game, it's her brain. All right. But then also a big piece of it and how our approach is much different than a lot of others is because we bring the mom and the dad into the conversation and equip them with the knowledge that they need to support their athlete. And I imagine it's very similar when it comes to nutrition too. Like, yes, athlete is making some decisions depending on their age, but parents have a heavy influence, right? So like, can you speak to like how important our influence is when it comes to nutrition and the things that we can be doing aside from what you've already mentioned, as far as like just making sure that we're giving them food, but like, how can we influence how our kids are making nutritional decisions?
Well, as you know, your kids are always watching you. They're watching, they're listening to what you're saying. They're always watching you. So it's very important that they see you eating. And also it's okay if they see you eating, you know, I know there's a lot of people that like to call food junk, but if they see you eating ice cream on occasion, that's okay. And also to be very mindful how you talk about food. Like if I highly advise parents don't say, oh, well, I didn't exercise today, so I can't eat. Mm-hmm. So always being a good role model in that part, because otherwise they're going to, even though you think they're not going to pick up your habits oftentimes because they're always listening, always watching you, like, huh, mom's not eating today. Well, oh, it's because she doesn't exercise. Oh, maybe I shouldn't eat either. Ooh. And also, again, I mentioned before, asking them to help you prepare meals, trying new things, always trying different types of food will influence them. And again, try not to refer to the foods as junk food and are bad. Refer to it as like the French fries, ice cream. I'm just using this as an example as sometimes food, because it's okay to eat those foods, you know, sometimes. And like the healthy food, again, like the vegetables, fruit, the always food. Oh, I'm going to have some sometimes food today. I'm in the mood for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talk about how we are influenced as parents is to shape the environment and provide the opportunities. And again, I think it like relates really well to nutrition as well. Like you shape the environment by like how you are modeling your eating habits, mm-hmm. you know, what you're choosing to eat, how often you're eating, like, yeah, just like what you said, all of the things that we want our kids to do, and then provide them the opportunity to have a snack that is fueling, like provides the nutrition that they need, you know, mm-hmm. stocking the fridge with things that are accessible to them. And so just providing the opportunities in their environment too, I don't know, I imagine would be important as well, so that they're like surrounded by these things and like the options are just easy for them. I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other tips for, let's see, the one that we get a lot is like picky eaters or eaters who just like, they're like, I only want Cheez-Its and that's going to be my meal, Cheez-Its and cereal.
Right.
And, you know, we've gone down and now we're trying to kind of course correct a little bit. Have you had athletes right. like that?
Yes, I haven't. But, you know, because if they're 13, 14 years old, then you can provide the food, but also it's okay to let them make some mistakes. If they say, okay, you want to eat cheese, it's okay. I'm recommending you try a bagel with some fruit and some cream cheese to help to fuel your body. But if that's what you want to eat, okay. And just let them see how they feel okay. rather than just the parent just saying, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do this. Because ultimately when they leave, they're going to make their own decisions. If they continue on their career in college or even just recreational sport, they're going to realize, oh, I didn't feel good just eating Cheez-Its. So just like with any setbacks in sports, you're going to make some mistakes and you learn from them. Mm-hmm. But with picky eaters, another thing parents can do is try to get them involved in the kitchen, like ask them to, like I mentioned before, ask them to help you make a meal, try to include them in shopping. I'm going shopping. How about you come with me and pick out some foods that you like? Mm-hmm. Let's prepare meals together. Let's looking up recipes together. How does this sound? Let's try this. Just always exposing them to new things.
Yeah.
But again, letting them deal with some of the consequences because that's how they learn.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, and sometimes it's hard, like some athletes are like, yeah, no, I just ate whatever. I played great, you know, and they don't quite see like, you know, sometimes that happens, but.
Yeah, rarely, but yeah, I agree, but it's rare.
It is. Or they'll like try and blame it on something else, you know, that.
Yep.
That they think. So yeah, I think bringing it back to, and that's what we tell athletes or tell parents too, when they're like even introducing the idea of mental training to their kids is like, oh, well, sometimes just having them experience like, well, you're really not coming back from mistakes very well, you know, and
right. Yeah.
It's a real struggle for you. What are you doing to change that? And having them realize themselves like, yeah, I don't really have any skills when it comes to that, you know? And so just connecting the dots on like, oh, well, maybe if we tried to like fuel a little bit better. So yeah. Very good, Ashley. Well, this has been great. Hopefully parents are grabbing some nuggets to start to implement with their kids. And can you let us know where else we can find a little more about you and learn about
sure.
what you
do? Yeah, my Instagram page, you can just type in Ashley Harps, or you can, it's Surf Turf Sports Dietitian. I'm very active on Instagram. I also have a website, Go for the Gold Nutrition. There's a lot of free downloads there. If you go to that section for free tips, and also on my Instagram page as well.
Cool. Okay. Well, we will link those in the show notes. Ashley, thank you again for sharing your time and sharing these resources with our community. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks again for having me.
Thanks so much for listening, moms. Now, don't forget to head over to trainhergame.com to check out that free training for sports mom. This is the training where we break down exactly what you can say and do to help your daughter come back from those mistakes, release the pressure, flip her negative mindset so that she can stop being overly critical of herself and play to her potential. Let's ditch this not knowing what to say dilemma for good and start getting your daughter to believe in herself as much as you do. Now that's at trainhergame.com. Go ahead and go there to choose your date and time, and I'll see you there.